Don't Look Like a Runner with Nick and John.
Hello and welcome to You Don't Look Like a Runner, a leftist podcast shouting into the echo chamber about running, fitness and tech. I'm Nick.
I'm John.
How are you doing, John?
I'm very well, mate. I'm very well. Nice intro. Thank you.
Thanks. Yeah, no worries. Thank you. Is that just for you, or is it you, reckon? No, he's making reference to the leftist echo chamber. It must be specifically for me.
Well, it is an echo chamber, so...
That's true. Yeah, fair enough. Good point. Good bloody point, mate. How you been doing? You been all right?
Yeah, I've been okay. Been busy, you know. But I'm not gonna moan.
No,
keep... What are you?
Busy, very busy, mate. We're too busy for this. Too busy to be doing this on a Wednesday night. I tell you.
Well, that FIFA's not going to play itself.
That's true enough. Yeah, that's true enough. I just thought no. I felt I deserved a little reward for how busy I've been.
Well, I know you've been for a run.
Yes, we'll come on to that a bit later. Well, you'd hope so, wouldn't you? We're literally talking about...
Fitness, running and tech, apparently.
I've been for a run. So, yeah. What did you mean by, I know you've been for a run? Why did you say it with that kind of suspicious tone?
Oh, I didn't mean to.
Didn't mean anything by it, mate. Didn't mean anything by it.
All right, let's all calm down. Let's have a drink.
We've all had a drink. Tiger out of the cage. What do you mean about me going for a run? Any follow-up, John?
I've checked emails.
Go on. Oh, yes. Right, we have access to emails. Everyone is now allowed to send us email again.
Yeah, I think the first point of order vis-a-vis the email is that the people who'd messaged me to say, "Are you checking your email?" Didn't get those emails.
No. So
that must have been during the dark times.
There was a small period where we were telling people there was an email address when it didn't actually exist. So that was probably during that period.
Shout out to Dan from Texas. That's basically all the follow-up I've got really from the email box at the moment.
Dan from Texas, I feel like Dan understands us on a particularly deep level. His response to your apology email explaining why it had taken us 2 months to get back to him
was on point.
It showed me that he was our sort of people. Do you know what I mean?
Fine, he can stay.
Yeah, friend of a show, official friend of a show,
Show, and nice to know that we're out in Texas.
Nice to know that they care in Texas.
Leave us a review.
The thing is, Dan, we appreciate your email, mate, but we'd much prefer that to be turned into an iTunes review. Rate, review, and subscribe.
Have I got any other feedback? I don't think I've got any other feedback, mate.
I've had a bit of follow-up today, which is, this sometimes happens because we're quite slow in turning the episodes round. Occasionally we'll record before we've released the previous episode.
Yeah.
So that's what's happening this time round. And friend of the show, Joe, messaged me earlier to say, I saw you tweeting about how bad the new Apple podcast app is.
Right.
And I was like, hang on a minute.
Have we tweeted that?
I haven't tweeted that. And has he heard the show? Because it's not been released yet. Because we talked about that last show, didn't we? Right. So I'm getting confused here. And he was like, oh, yeah, I saw you tweeting about how bad the Apple podcast app is. And I didn't know what your beef was, but I've just upgraded to iOS 11 and this is an absolute monstrosity. So it turns out what it was. I said that somebody had contacted me saying, can you recommend an alternative because the Apple Podcasts app is so bad now?
Right.
That's what he'd seen. So he'd seen me recommending the alternative and he was like, Nick is such a bitter, twisted man. Right. He must have been the one who was slagging off iOS 11.
Wow.
I've not even looked. I've not even updated and I've not even looked at the podcast app because I've already got Pocket Cast, so why would I? Pocket Cast is my official recommendation, by the way.
Anything in terms of Apple Podcasts, anything is an improvement that doesn't involve a picture of reel-to-reel tape moving inside the app. There were dark times when that was their aesthetic.
Oh, skeuomorphism, man.
Skeuomorphism.
Do you think it'll make a comeback?
Skeuomorphism, there's nothing new these days. It all just comes around in cycles. So,
oh, yeah, yeah. bleak. What do you make of material design, mate? Do you feel like that's a perfect combination between flat design and skeuomorphism?
It's all right.
It's not quite 99% invisible, is it, this podcast?
Oh, I was listening to that podcast I mentioned to you the other day about the Norwegian guy and the Scottish woman who's just moved to Norway who are chatting, and they work for a UX agency. Yeah. And in their second episode, the Norwegian guy gets quite het up about people being meta and talking about podcasts in podcasts. So hello. but he kind of goes, oh, one of our friends said we should talk more about UX and UI. And she just goes, well, no, this is audio. That's going to be really hard and I can't be bothered. And I was like, yeah, that's the right response.
So we won't be doing that then. That's fine.
But they did make the point that if you do want that, then Syracuse is the man, isn't he?
You keep saying his name wrong, don't you? Still.
Well,
as I said before, there's an entire episode of Metacritical where he discusses how to pronounce his name. So
yeah,
I'll make sure I give you a link to that so you put it in the show notes again for you to listen to.
Okay.
Okay. Good. Right. Is that for follow up? Because I've got topics.
I'm hungry for topics, mate. I've been trying to sort of brush over the follow up so I could get to topics because I'm greedy for them.
Okay, mate. Big news. The AirPods arrived.
Scenes. But they were going to take 6 weeks.
I know, but they turned it around in, what, three? So.
Wow, that's just engineering delight, isn't it? That's what they're doing there. There's some brand truth happening for you, mate.
Well, what I've done, mate, is I've taken notes, and I'm going to just talk you through my entire AirPods experience. This is going to be a good, solid review. I think I'm going to cover all the aspects people are going to want to know, okay?
Okay.
So first of all, I got a message saying that they'd been shipped by UPS, no less. High quality courier, by all accounts.
They just work.
Just work. And I then got another message later on that day as I'd been sitting in the house waiting for said AirPods to arrive, saying that they hadn't been delivered today because my road didn't exist.
Just works, mate.
So I contacted UPS and said, oh, have you got the wrong address, please, because my road does exist. And they said, oh, if we've got, oh yes, we must have the wrong address. You can't tell us the new address. We're going to have to send these things back to Apple, and then you're going to have to contact Apple to give them the right address. And I'm there, I'm like, and I'm looking at my shipping notification app. I'm like, but dude, the address on the shipping notification isn't my address.
Correct.
And I was like, so what can I tell Apple other than, please send these again to the same address? And he was like, oh, is the address correct? I was like, yes. He's like, oh, I'll get the depot to call you.
Right.
And so the depot call, like, so basically the guy I'd call was in some call center, like, overseas or something. Because, like, just you tell from, like, the quality of the connection on the line, it was, like, really, really crackly. And then someone from the Birmingham depot called me, like, you're right. And she was like, yeah, basically, the driver got lost, couldn't find your road. So I've had to print out step-by-step instructions off Google Maps to find your road.
Well, like you used to do in 2000, 2001, where you used to actually have to print turn by turn.
Exactly. So exactly. That's what I was like. I was like, did you get MapQuest up and start like,
oh, mate.
Dude, when I used to go on tour with the band, that was the lifesaver, MapQuest. Except you would always have one wrong turn. It was like a little Easter egg finding which one was the wrong turn.
Well, Carl and I, when we were making that documentary we made, we had to go to Germany, and we pretty much did a full lap of Germany with a ring binder full of MapQuest maps.
Nice.
And it was like, this is day one, day two, day three. So, yeah, oof, love that.
Moments of innocence, mate. Moments of innocence. I miss those days.
Only got lost about 400 times, mate.
Yeah, they're awful. Terrible, terrible directions. So, So he did eventually arrive the night. No, sorry. Yes, it was Friday. You're like, oh, we can't send him out now till Monday. It's like, oh, yeah, brilliant. Thanks. Or he wanted to, like, use them over the weekend, try them out, run with them and stuff. So they arrived Monday. First thing, to be fair. So fair enough, they got it turned around quite quickly. But it's just where they're like, they're just like, your street doesn't exist. I was like, well, who am I then? What am I if not a man who lives on the street?
That is just that is classic. Maybe next time you order from Amazon, you should change your address to, you know, 1 Nick Street brackets. It definitely exists.
Honestly.
Well, I'm sure you were open.
Well, did I tell you about the first thing that I had delivered from the company? So they, when you first join my company, you get like sent
Your work company. Yeah, so I thought you meant Apple.
No. So you get sent like a welcome pack of like stickers and a hoodie and like a water bottle and stuff. I was just like, you know, I'm actually wearing a hoodie tonight because it's freezing where I'm recording the podcast. So
It's just keeping. I told you it was going to get cold out there.
Oh, mate, it's absolutely Baltic. So they sent it and they had put on the address label Nick and then the name of the company afterwards. So like, if you imagine I work for Google, it'd be like Nick Google, right?
Right.
So it was like basically like whatever the merch company was that sends out this kind of like package of merch, because they're not sending it out from their homes. You know what I mean, they've got like a third party sending this merch stuff out. So they put like Nick Google, then my address. So classic Royal Mail. I wasn't in, so they took it to the depot. So I went to my depot, and they were like, "Oh, have you got any ID?" And showed him my ID, and they're like, "That's not what it says in my package."
Oh, no.
And I was like, "Well, what are you talking about?" And I said, like, "Oh, it says Nick Google here." I'm like, I was like, "Well, that's not my pissing name, is it? That's a company I work for." I think at that point I was wearing like a T-shirt with the name of a company on it. I was like, "Look, this is the company I work for. That's me." It's like, and he was like looking at me. He was like looking at me real suspicious. You know, like when you ever been to the post office where they like to wield their power over you? They're sort of looking at you like, well, am I going to give you a package? Am I not going to give you a package? Giving it all that, mate.
Transactions go fairly smoothly at my post office, to be honest. I don't project that much social anxiety into it.
No. You live in a very nice area, and I live in a not
what,
so,
so they,
nice
they,
area.
They just think that everyone there is on the scam.
In fact, when I used to live in a much worse area in Birmingham, the people at the post office were absolutely lovely. I loved my little post office.
But without getting too far into the weeds, I just want to say the sorting office when we all lived in Erdington was the pits.
If you ever had to go there, that was an absolute nightmare.
Like, my new sorting office, there's like a huge room to stand in and a nice new counter. That one, if there's more than two people in front of you, you're outside.
Anyway. It's hideous, yeah. See, this one... See,
it's when you get in, but...
Yeah. You can't get in, can you, if you...
What we need, mate, is stamps.com.
Yeah.
I'm just a queue at the post office.
$100 value of offer code. So that was problematic.
I quite like the idea that the fulfillment house that sends these goodie packs has essentially used the model that the NME and Select magazine used in the 90s to refer to members of bands. So they would be first name, band name, wouldn't they?
Justine Elastica,
yeah. So that's quite good. I also quite like the idea that we might bring back occupational surnaments. You know, like have little people running around called David UX designer and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It could be. It's like a Welsh thing, though, isn't it? They often give people's nicknames as the thing that they do as well.
Yeah. We're bringing it back. So finally, I got
you. You got the man found the road that exists.
Yeah, apparently my wife.
It's quite big as well. I'm just going to put that out there.
Yeah, it's a pretty main. I mean, it's off a main road, and it's like a main through road as well. I don't live in some like sort of, you know, like these roads that are fake roads. They're basically a drive down to a couple of houses and they call it a road. No, it's not like that. It's like a proper actual road.
Yeah.
And I was saying to the geezer on the phone, I was like, well, mate, this house was built in the 1950s. So the road's been around for nearly 70 years minimum. So I think it does exist. I was getting proper shirty because I used to work in customer service. I'm the absolute worst when I call a call centre.
You must be the pits.
I am. I'm like, well, I know you've got floor walkers walking around, so if you could just put me onto one of your supervisors. Awful, awful individual, awful individual. So
Nick Google's parcel arrived.
Yes, the parcel arrived finally. I'm just going to break slightly and say one of the features of the AirPods that have been widely praised and advertised is that you pair them with your iOS device and essentially any device that you've then signed in on using your Apple ID, they're automatically paired and you can like instantly switch from the audio between the two.
Sounds incredible.
The kind of like precursor to that is that when you pair them, you've got this little tiny box that they live in, and it is beautiful. Like it's classic Apple design. It's like all the edges are completely perfect, so there's almost like no rough parts at all as you kind of run your fingers over it. Lovely hinge, magnetic hinge, and all this sort of stuff. Like classic Apple design, they fit in there just perfectly. Lovely piece of kit. And when you pop it open next to your phone, it like pops up with this little card, and you can just say, "Yeah, pair these AirPods," and that's lovely. But paired in beautifully with my phone. Unfortunately for me, and this is not Apple's fault. Well, actually, no, it is Apple's fault. A few months ago, I asked Siri how old the Undertaker was, and what happened was Siri misheard that. And thought that I was asking her to change my name on my phone to Taker. And I don't know how to change it back.
How did this not come up last week when we were talking about Siri?
I'd forgotten that this had happened. This was months ago. I'd forgotten this had happened until this happened. And if you wouldn't mind, John, just casting your eyes over my unofficial Twitter feed. You'll see what I saw when I went to pair these AirPods.
Okay.
And I'll give you a small moment just to check. You know what I mean by the unofficial Twitter feed, don't you? The classic Twitter feed.
The classic. I was going to say, I've got sort of my contacts are bleeding all over the place here. Right. How far down is it?
Second tweet, I think.
Oh, I should have been on Twitter more today. This is vintage. Oh, I just want to point out how bad your numbers are as well.
It's pathetic, isn't it? Absolutely disgraceful. Absolutely disgraceful.
I don't know what these people want anymore. A letter fell off a wall behind a middle-aged lady and they've all lost their mental shit. Yeah. But somebody changed their name to The Undertaker via Siri And they're all like, don't know, mate. I've got nothing for you. I want to talk about Syria and Boris Johnson. That's what I want to talk about.
So here's the thing, right? What I'm just you can put that picture in the show notes. What this picture is it's just a card that's popped up with a beautiful picture of the AirPods and the charger thing. It just says Taker's AirPods at the top. And I have no idea how to change it back. And I can change the name of the AirPods in the settings. So I just keep changing them to AirPods. And every time I reconnect them, it changes back. I can't fucking change it. I don't know how.
Can you not tell Siri to do it?
Tell Siri. I've not turned Siri. I've got Siri turned off my phone. I don't think it'll work.
Can you not like do long hold or something, or double tap, or whatever?
No, but because you have to actually set Siri up, and then it asks you to like talk to it and shit.
Parting gift to you was to change your name to Undertaker, and then you just switched it off, killed it.
Right, I'm gonna try this now. Right, hang on. Hey Siri,
meetings, taker.
Change my name back to Nick. Change my name back to Nick.
Which Nick?
Nick.
I can't make changes to your contacts.
No, you twat.
Do it in the contact tab.
I'm not a fucking contact, it's me. It literally says on my screen, I can't make changes to your contacts, taker. You can do it in the contacts app. Right, try again.
Oh, screen change.
Oh, hang on, right. Oh, fuck off. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Right,
all of this is registering.
Can't speak to you that way, taker.
You can do that later. That's fine.
Right, hang on a minute. I am going to do this. Change my name to Nick.
Speak to me like that, taker. Oh, God.
I can't make changes to your contacts.
Why?
You can do it in the contacts app.
No, I am not a contact. I'm a man. Right. Fucking Siri. Right. Where was I? So they paired. They paired with my iPhone. They don't paired with Taker's iPhone. Oh, man. What? I can't believe it won't let me change my name back. All I did was ask it how old The Undertaker was, and that's what I've ended up with.
This plays back beautifully when you play it back through last week's tape. All the things that you would use Siri for that you talked about.
I know Siri is now ostensibly worse than Google, because Google doesn't change my name if I search how old is The Undertaker. Right.
So you're like, I don't understand why I can't get into my email. And you go, oh, hang on, taker at gmail.com. Oh, there I am.
Oh, my God. Right. So I paired them with the iPhone.
Right.
And then I was like, right, sweet. So they should show up on my Mac in a minute. And so I'm like, right, come on. Come on. Because if you remember, the reason I bought these.
Mm-hmm.
Was to use them on work calls.
That's
so
right.
So I needed to pair them with my... Obviously, I wanted the whole package, but one of the main reasons I made the decision to kind of request these out of my kind of work budget was, I went, you know, my justification essentially was using them for work calls.
Yeah.
So I was like, right, okay, these should be paired in a minute. They'll be paired anytime now as soon as iCloud up. No, not paired. Right, let me go and see if I need to refresh iCloud. No, that's logged in. Can't do anything there. They wouldn't pair, mate. Didn't
just works.
So what I had to do was I had to pair them manually, like a normal Bluetooth device. Now, that is not exactly the experience that I'd been sold by everyone who's been raving about these headphones.
Right.
But I was like, okay, fine. I've paired them now. That's fine. So I started using them with my Mac, and they just keep disconnecting constantly. Just constantly disconnecting every time I'm listening to something or talking or whatever, just dropping out.
Like, what, so like, Christ. As in you need to go back into Bluetooth and
reconnect them, yeah. So I'm like, right, okay, well, this isn't good. This is not good. I'm actually on a work call, and they're dropping out, like inconsistently. And the person I'm having a call with is like, you sound really muffled and far away. And this is when I'm on them. And then right. They drop out, and it would start using my Mac microphone, and she'd be like, oh, yeah, brilliant, you sound better now. I'm like, that's not good. I don't want to sound better using the onboard microphone on my laptop. So... I'm like, right, so
I'll do the classic mic.
Yeah, so it's using the onboard mic, and she's like, oh, you sound much better now. I'm like, Jesus Christ. So I'm doing the classic thing. I've got like 19 Google Chrome tabs open with different various support networks for Apple, trying to find out why this is happening with the Mac. And it's that thing where like people are like, there's certain things when things are wrong with your Mac that people always say, and you're like, I'm not doing that because it never works. So resetting your NVRAM and PRAM is the thing that everyone always says. I'm like, I'm not doing that. And they're like, clear your Bluetooth preferences list. I'm like, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing any of that stuff because I know it doesn't work. And in the end, the thing that seemed to work to stop them from dropping out was to unpair them from everything and pair them to my Mac first. and then pair them to my phone.
Right.
And since doing that, they haven't dropped connection.
Okay.
So they seem okay. But again, it's not exactly the beautiful setup experience I was promised. I wonder if maybe whether the iCloud thing had actually worked, whether I would have had that problem. But yeah, not a great start.
Is the thing, is it anything to do with your name being different on different things because of the
the
Undertaker situation?
One second, I'll just send you a screenshot of what I see on my Mac. Okay. Because on my Mac, they're also called Taker's AirPods.
Great. Okay. Oh, by the way, while you've been talking, I've been thinking, I've been doing some problem solving.
Cool.
I think I've worked out the correct voice command to get Siri to change your name back.
Go on.
Well, the circumstances under which it changed your name were you saying, "Hey Siri, how old is the Undertaker?" Mm-hmm. Right, and that meant change my name to Taker. So you need to say, "Hey Siri, how old is Under Nick?"
Fair,
and then your name will be. Otherwise, it makes no sense.
Hey Siri, how old is Under Nick?
Hi there, Taker.
Yeah. How old is Under Nick?
Looking. Here's what I found on the web for how old is Under Nick.
Oh, you fucking heard me that time, didn't you, twat? Right.
Busy week for Shelter this week.
Jesus. Oh, God.
You're essentially saying that you're now stuck using the earbud and the microphone on the computer, and that's it.
Right. Well, so, okay. So I was worried by this revelation of sounding muffled and quiet. And I went back to using my existing headset. And what I actually did was I ordered some $7.99 Apple AirPods off eBay, like proper ones, but just the classic wired ones.
Okay.
Because I couldn't stand using my headset in a... Because I've got like one of these call center headsets. I couldn't stand using that in a cafe or whatever. So I ordered some of these AirPods. So I was waiting for them to arrive.
They're $7.99 now?
Yeah, I'll send you a link, mate. I might stock up. Yeah, officials. Yeah, I might stock. In general, like in... Yeah, because who needs them?
Oh, well, yeah, but I suppose they're defunct now, so that's probably why they're so cheap.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. I'll send you a link, because I'm going to get a few pairs, really, because they're excellent for what you use them for. So I wasn't going to use them, and I was just like, well, let me give these another go. Now I've repaired them, the pairing seems to be better. Let me give them a go. So I started just using them on calls and not mentioning that I was using them and just seeing if like I had any complaints or whether the calls just went okay, if people could hear me okay. And you know, you can tell if people can hear you like within these things.
Okay.
So far, it seems like they're all right. I've mentioned to a few people and they've said, well, you're a bit quieter maybe than you would be, than I'm used to. If you had your headset where you've basically got a microphone right next to your mouth. I think what I'm realizing is that, normally when I'd be on these calls, I'd talk quite quietly because I'd have a headset on and be right next to my mouth. Like I'd talk quite softly. With these, I just think I need to project a little bit more, talk a bit louder.
Okay.
And they're okay. Because obviously the microphone's up by your ear, essentially. There's no microphone in front of your mouth. It's up, for me, within my beard. So far, they seem to be okay.
Cool.
In fact, how do I sound to you now?
What?
Yeah.
You're not.
I am. Whole episode so far.
Well, I hope this gamble pays off, mate.
Well, I've got a contingency, but don't worry. What do you reckon? Sound all right?
My mind's pretty blown, mate. That's
serious.
That's such an obvious trick. Such a cheap conjurer, but.
It's a prestige, mate.
It is. It's not a trick, Nick. It's an illusion.
Exactly.
Genuinely, I'm quite surprised and quite impressed. Well done.
That's good. Because I can't hear them, obviously, because I can't monitor myself, which is one of my bugbears of our current recording process. So that's good to know that they've worked all right. I'm sure they're not as good quality as if I was using the classic microphone in front of my face, and I don't necessarily intend to use them in future for this, but I thought it'd be an interesting experiment. It's certainly helpful for me knowing that they actually, you know, are loud enough that it's not, you know, noticeable. So
if you've said you've got a contingency, does that mean you've got the condenser in front of you as well?
Yeah, I'm recording into GarageBand with a condenser, just in case.
So it'd be interesting for show notes to just put some audio somewhere for a side by side comparison, because your local files might be very, very, very different. I've been hearing some compression artifacts, but I've assumed that they were Skype based.
That's still possibly the case.
You might want to kind of compare the local files side by side to see what that sounds like.
We can put those up. We can host them up somewhere, and people can put them in show notes, and people can check them out.
Cool.
So I thought I'd what I'd read was that these have been designed kind of to work well, or rather not designed, but they work infinitely better with your phone than they do with the Mac. That's essentially what I'd read up on. You know, things like FaceTime, they were geared to that. Phone calls on your phone, they were geared to that. And when I've taken phone calls with them on the phone, they sound like the sound quality for me listening sounds great, and people on the phone haven't had any complaints.
Yeah.
So whether it's a combination of Google Hangouts that we use for work, maybe is a little bit quiet than Skype. I don't know.
Could be.
But generally they seem to be okay, right? So they seem okay. That's a bit of a disaster averted, because if I couldn't have used them for what I planned to use them for, that would have been seriously bad. So my next kind of note I've got here is just them as general headphones. So going away from kind of the calls and stuff. What I will say actually about the calls, battery life seems to significantly drain their battery compared to just listening to music.
What battery life seems to drain their battery? What do you mean?
Did I hear battery life? Taking calls, like using the microphone, seems to drain the battery life a lot quicker than just listening to music. I probably get about 1.5 to 2 hours on them if I'm taking a call. So I could probably do a 2-hour call, and I could probably get about 6-7 hours of music listening.
But they charge real quick, don't they?
Well, I'm amazed how fast they charge. They were dying on me yesterday, and I put them in the charger for 5 minutes, and they went up to like 46%.
Amazing.
And I was amazed how quick they charge. The charging thing as well, it's a lovely little bit of kit. It really is absolutely lovely. So I'd say the battery life's really good. I just need to be a bit wary if I'm going to use them for calls. So again, it's a bit of a difficult one. Luckily, most of my calls are like 1 hour long at most, and then I'll get a bit of a break where I can charge them up. So I should be okay for that. And I'm just going to keep those AirPods that I've ordered just in my bag, just in case. So if I ever need to switch them out, that's fine. The general headphone stuff. Sound quality, hugely impressed. I have to say I'm massively impressed with the level of sound quality, specifically around music, listening to music.
Right.
Really good bass, really nice balance, kind of EQ. Okay. They fit really nice in my ears, and they don't feel like they're going to fall out, which is obviously the big worry when you see them, people walking around with them. And you think, oh God, they're just going to drop out your ears. But I think not having the wire pulling on them, it's amazing how much of a difference that makes. When they're just sitting in your ears without this thing pulling, they just don't feel like they're going to fall out.
Are they? Has the shape adapted at all? Has it changed? Or is it basically still the same?
Pretty much identical to the AirPods, the latest version of the AirPods, which actually I think sounded pretty good anyway. But yeah, these do seem like they sound a little bit better, a little bit bassier than the AirPods. But yeah, I love the sound of them, actually. Really, really nice. They don't look as crazy stupid as I thought they would. Obviously, the Apple branding kind of really highlights them makes them really bright, so they really stand out. But actually, when you're wandering around with them and you sort of see yourself in the reflection or whatever, they're not that garish.
Okay.
You're about to say something.
No, I was just kind of wondering what the relationship is between the Beats acquisition and the development of Apple headphones. Is it just completely separated and that's it, and it's just a marketing connection, or is there an engineering connection between?
There's certainly an engineering connection in the sense that a couple of the Beats X range that came out around the same time as the AirPods have got the same chip in them.
Right.
So but the big thing about these AirPods is they've got this chip, A1 chip maybe, that's doing a lot of like advanced Bluetooth stuff for the pairing. And
okay.
And the pairing is great. I've not had any cutout at all in terms of like connecting to your phone in whatever pocket you're using it in. Mm. And apparently
it doesn't favour a side because you can use one at a time, can't you?
You can.
There's not like a slave and a main.
No. So this is another interesting thing about them as headphones. You can take one out and just use the other one and it will keep playing. Yeah. But if you take one out, the default behaviour is that will pause whatever you're listening to. And then when you put it back in your ear, it starts again. Which is a behaviour people have loved. I'm not so keen, because normally when I'm taking one ear out, I'm kind of like, wouldn't mind it just to keep playing.
Yeah, I think I've understood what you've said. So just to sort of clarify what's happening in this journey right now. So I've got two earphones in, and I'm walking along, and I'm listening to a podcast. And I take one out, then things pause. Yeah. Then I'm going to have to either press play again if I want to carry on doing that thing, or if I've taken the earphone out because I'm switching to a different context, I can then pick up a new audio source and then play that into the one. Now, and then when I put the other earphone into my other ear, does it revert back to the context it was in before?
No, I think you've slightly confused this. So,
okay.
you're walking along listening to a podcast, you take one earphone out and it pauses.
Right.
Your options then are to put that earphone back in and it will start playing again.
Right.
Or you can hit play manually on the phone again, and it will start just in the one ear that is still in your ear.
Okay.
If you want to switch context to like a different device connected to them, you'd actually have to connect that device via Bluetooth and like manually switch that context.
Right. So I was thinking more like, you know, you might want to take a call with only one earpiece in, so you can do it for that, and it doesn't then reset back to where it was before when you put the second one in. How does it know it's in your ear? That's clever, eh?
Yeah, I found it works about 80% to 90% of the time when you kind of put it in and back in. It always works when you take it out, but sometimes it doesn't quite catch when you put it back in, especially if you've left it for quite a while.
Right.
You kind of have to maybe just wake it up a little bit. So I don't know if there's a time limit actually, because what it seems to do is it seems to recognize that you've put it back in, but it doesn't restart. If you leave it too long, you have to actually manually restart the play. There's another thing about them is that there's a gesture you can do with them to perform certain actions. You can double tap on them. You have to double tap quite hard.
Right.
And the default there is Siri, so you can tell how fun that was for me. In the first hour that I owned them, I accidentally called three different people just from trying to use the headphones and listen to music, just from like touching them.
Dialing from your head?
Just, I didn't even say things. I just like tapped it, and then whatever noises I must have made, it construed as me demanding what I called people I hadn't spoken to for 7 years, which is awesome. I then found a hidden setting where I can change what that double tap does.
Right.
And your choices are that you can have it do Siri, you can have it play or pause whatever you listen to, or you can have it do nothing. So I chose play pause. And that's actually quite useful, especially when you put the earphone back in and it doesn't register and doesn't start playing. You can just give it a quick double tap and it will start playing again. So that's quite useful to have. I would prefer some sort of like, I'd love a way of doing volume, but it's difficult to appreciate how you might do that with a limited gesture set. with this sort of tech. But maybe, who knows, in the future perhaps. Mm. So generally headphone stuff, like walking around town, things like that, pretty good. They feel incredibly light, and I constantly feel like I'm going to lose one. Like, if I take it out of my ear, I'm always checking where it is. What I've got into the habit of doing is, if I'm taking it out for any more than a couple of seconds, I'm putting it back into the little pod case. Because they are so small. I had them on the sofa the other day, and I took one out and just put it on the sofa arm, and I was like, if that falls, that's gone. Like, I'm not finding that.
Yeah.
So they're a little bit worrisome in that sense. But then last night, I was like, right, I'm going to go for a run, and I'm going to really test these out on a run, because this is what this podcast is about, and this is why people are tuning in. They're running.
It's right on the intersection of all of our things, mate. You got your fitness.
It is. It's
running.
I've got. Well, I was sitting there. I was looking at my Venn diagram, and I was like, well, I've got running in. Running in itself is already crossed with fitness, and now I've got exactly. Tech. I'd be a mug not to go running.
You would be.
Couldn't get out last night. Could not, for the love of money, get out. I was solo parenting last night. Couldn't get out of the house. So I got up first thing this morning and went. And I decided to go, and I sent you a picture earlier, so feel free to pop that in the old show notes. I decided to go without the buff. We talked about the buff.
Okay.
And decided to go sans buff. And I really wanted to test these as, what are these going to be like for running headphones? And I honestly, John, have never been so anxious and terrified as the first mile of that run. Because I could just... So, you know, when you get headphones, in-ear headphones, you kind of push them in, right? And you get like a nice snug fit. So I did that with these. But then as soon as I started running, they'd kind of loosen. And they'd kind of just sit in their natural position. But that felt to me like they were sitting too loose. And I was I was desperate. I just kept like touching them, pushing them back in. And then they'd come back out again. And I was like, they're going to fall. Again, I'm a man for a contingency.
Right.
I did take the buff with me and put it in my pocket. I put it in my pocket because I was like, my thing was, if they fall once, or if they like get loose enough that I feel they're definitely going to fall, I'm putting the buff on. I'm not risking these breaking. Yeah. But after about a mile, when I'd sort of like got into the podcast I was listening to, I got into the run, and I'd sort of forgotten about worrying about them and relaxed, I didn't notice them again. They were absolutely fine. Absolutely fine. They do sit. They sit in a way that isn't pushed into your ears. They just sit nicely in my... And I know not everyone has this luxury of having an ear where they'll just sit in there, but they seem to fit in my ear fine. I've sat at home like a mental case, just like shaking my head around and trying to get anything to get them to fall out. And I've not managed at all to get them to fall out of my head. They felt the most close to doing that during the run.
Right.
Because obviously you've probably got like the impact, the kind of shaking impact of hitting the ground.
Mm-hmm.
But they never did. And once I'd kind of like forgotten about them, they were fine. I didn't worry about them again. Now, dare I do it again? Am I going to use them again as running headphones? That's still a question mark to me. Do they give me anything?
For all that headbanging at home, you're still not convinced?
I might go for another few runs in the same way, where I take the buff with me and see how I get on. But I'm just like, what are they giving me on the run that I need so desperately that I would risk this, you know, £160? You know, it just takes one to fall out and land in a drain and you're screwed. And it's like, well, is it actually worth that risk? What am I getting out of that? And I don't really know if I'm getting anything above what those Alirelli ones do. And if they break, I don't care because they're like £15.
So sound wise, what are they like compared to the Alirellis?
Well, they're not as outside noise cancelling because they're not as tight. I could hear everything around me. In fact, on certain busier roads, it was a struggle to hear the podcast a little bit. I had to turn it quite loud. But that's a known quantity with those sorts of headphones because they haven't got the rubber ear pod pieces that are going to fit snugly in your ear. So that's, in a way, that's good because you want to hear the outside world a little bit when you're out and about. But I've got my question mark on, like, you know, it seems like a bit of an unnecessary risk with these, especially because they're not technically mine because purchased by work. So, you know, I'll see. I will go out for a couple more runs with them and I'll see. I think the buff or a hat in the winter is certainly not a bad look. So
yeah,
could go for that. But again, you know, to what end really? To what end? I don't know. We'll see.
But I think cycle.
I feel like cycling might give me a bit more of a use case. And less chance of them falling out, I think, but almost like more catastrophic if they do fall out at that speed.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like a probably lower risk, but higher kind of negative impact if they do fall out. I don't know, mate. Maybe I'll go for another few runs and they just, like I say, I cannot get them to fall out of my head. it's kind of crazy. You feel like they should fall out, but I can't make them do it.
But they're not waterproof, are they? So you can't swim in them. We haven't found the Bluetooth swimming headphone yet, have we?
They do exist. I saw there's some in them.
Oh, yeah, I know they exist. We haven't.
No, yet got no. One.
Right.
That's not a pressing concern for me anyway. So it's not too much of a worry. I'm not sure what their water resistance is. That's the other thing. If I go out in the winter and it's raining, I'm not sure what their water resistance level is, which would be another concern.
If they're in your ears, then what's exposed?
What I will say is I got back from running and they were they're fairly dry. They hadn't picked up too much sweat or anything, so that was good. So the last note on my little list. That's pretty much my full review. Have you got any questions on that at all?
I don't think I do. I think from having heard you talk about them. Sorry. I just went off mic to cough and then came back on and coughed.
Classic.
Classic Hickman. From what I've heard you say, I don't think I'm overly interested in these Bluetooth headphones. I like the product design of it. I think it's aesthetically nice, and I'm intrigued by the charging pod. I think that's very nice as well. It's nice in a kind of an Apple-y brandy way, but I've never got on well with the old corded version of this product, and I know you're sort of talking about the cable jiggle, so maybe that is a factor. But I'm not convinced they'd fit in my ear, and I think I would be the kicker for me really was when you described running with them and just constantly thinking about them falling out. Listen and forget.
I think, to be fair, yeah, I was like, oh God, I don't know if I'm going to be able to. I was like, I can't do this. Can't feel like this the whole way around. And but once I did forget, they never bothered me again. I think you'd be surprised how much difference the cord makes. Like, I'm surprised how little these feel like they're going to fall out my ears, like general day to day. What is good about them as well is I completely forget they're in. Like they're that comfortable in terms of, I was listening to some music in Costa when I was working earlier, and kind of like the music finished, and I was working and not really concentrating on what was going on, and I was just sort of like pottering about afterwards, and I'd completely forgotten they were in my ears. They're that light. They're so light and unobtrusive. It you do forget they're there, and because you can still hear the outside world because they're not squished in your ears,
yeah,
you can just end up wandering around with them and not really realize. So my last kind of like little note thing on here is, are they worth it? So I didn't, I didn't pay for these. And I was, what I've been thinking is, I mean, would you say that what I've given you there is a fairly positive review? You were worried when I first messaged you, when I was having these settle problems, you were, oh my God, you're going to be slating them and all this. But I think generally you probably agree that's a fairly positive review, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's bits of it where I can see there's obvious issues that you're yet to iron out. Were you positive about it? Well, you weren't slagging it off, but you were presenting things that when I put myself in those positions, I felt very negative about. So for you, it might be a different thing, but I don't think I would want to put £160 down on something with some of the things that you've talked about.
Sorry, so which bit, sorry?
Mainly the running and being worried about it falling out your ears and, yeah.
I think maybe I've missed...
I'd be anxious.
I was actually sort of... I was sort of like presenting that as a positive, really. Like I was.
Yeah, I've tried headphones, different styles of headphones in the past. If they're bothering me within a mile or so, it becomes so problematic. It just throws me off of everything. And this is just me. It doesn't matter. It's
Well, so. I've been thinking, how would I feel if I'd spent my own money on these?
Yeah.
Which, as we discussed, I am want to do. I am the sort of person that will do this if I decide, if I could basically talk myself into it. And for everything that I've said that's positive about them, I am sitting here, and this is a circle round to when we first talked about Bluetooth headphones.
Mm.
When we were together and we did the Al Relly conversation, if I'd spent £160 on these, I'd be there thinking, where is that extra £140? Where's it gone in actual like tangible benefits as compared to those Al Relly ones?
It's a big bump in it.
Yeah, like basically. They're less obtrusive physically, they're lighter physically and you don't feel them as much. But as I sort of said, I mean, once you're kind of into the exercise with those other ones, it's fine anyway. They don't sound lovely, but you know, I'm not, sound quality was never particularly an issue, and the Al Relly ones, they sound fine. Battery life, these have got considerably worse battery life, even though the battery thing's really impressive and they have impressive battery life for what they do. They're great for my kind of all-round desires, but again, right. $799 AirPods kind of sort out that cool thing anyway. What is nice on those little calls is I'm now able to kind of like wander about my house taking those calls. That's quite nice.
Right.
You know, if I want to go and grab a drink or something, I haven't got to take my laptop with me, which is what was happening before, balancing the laptop on the kitchen side. But, you know, is that little win really worth that extra money? And I just don't think that if I'd have spent my own money on them, I'd be sitting here going, oh, well, it was definitely worth that huge spend. Don't get me wrong, I'm really happy I've got them. And I do love them. I love them as like a thing, as an object, I like wearing them. I like using them. I like the experience of using them. But I don't think that if I now rewound to a month ago when we were talking about this and you said, right, knowing what you know now, are you going to spend the £160 on them yourself? I don't think so. I'm not saying it's a definite no. I'm not saying it's that strong. And to be fair, that's to their credit. If you can get me saying, I don't think so about spending £160 on a pair of headphones, like, you've done pretty well. Because as we've discussed, normally I'd spend a month looking for the absolute cheapest way of spending, like saving £3 on a pair of £20 headphones, you know. So fair play to them. They are impressive, but I just don't know if it's a lot of money, right? It's a lot of money.
Yeah, it is, and we haven't even talked about the lifespan of the headphones. And we talked about the possibility of dropping one or losing one, and that essentially writes off £160. But how long are they actually going to last? And if a set of LREs would last you 3 months, 6 months, 12 months, you know, if you get, let's say they last a year. You can buy a lot of replacements before you max £860. So you've probably got 10 years worth of headphones for that money.
That's the other thing. If someone said to me, what Bluetooth headphones would you recommend? I'd still recommend those Arelli ones.
Right.
I still think they're amazing. They do so much for the small amount of money that they cost. And especially if you're the sort of person who's asking me, like, I'm a runner, I work out, whatever, which Bluetooth headphones would you recommend? It's still those Arelli ones. I just think they're amazing and tick every box. These tick every box as well, and a couple more extra boxes, but it's like there's one really, really, really big box, which is the price.
Yeah.
If these were £40, £50,
yeah,
I think it'd be a completely different story, but it's an astronomical amount of money.
So what's your this is proper just picking things out of the air stuff for you now, but what would you say your gut feeling is, will this be a price point for Apple headphones and new features will come out through the price point, or will this be the product and the price will drop?
I can't see the price dropping because they're so over demand already.
Yeah.
You know, they're shipping them. It's like a week shipping. Like you're talking like 4 to 6 weeks. I think I got them a bit quicker because it was like we've got like a certified Apple supplier.
Right.
At work.
And but I think if you actually, if you order those weeks, predictions for finding roads that don't exist.
Exactly. Yeah.
So they've got to allow for that. If you're on a road that exists, they can get it to you much quicker.
You order them off apple.com, you're looking at 4 to 6 weeks. So they are, and that has been since they've released. I think what's likely is they'll update the headphones and keep them at the same price point.
But what can you fit into the product roadmap for this though? Where can you go with it? You could improve the sound quality.
I'm not sure you can improve the sound quality that much, because I think a lot of the sound quality comes from the natural acoustics of the shape of the headphone in your ear.
Let's throw some quote marks around that, because marketing people can find a way of convincing you that the sound quality
I think it will be things like they'll work more gestures into it, so that you can do things like control the volume, and you know, maybe just improvements in Bluetooth connectivity and stuff like that, perhaps. But yeah, like they're all that, and that's kind of their downfall already. Is like, what more could they have ever given me above other Bluetooth headphones?
Mm-hmm.
All you can do with Bluetooth headphones is play the audio and hear the audio you're speaking. I mean, obviously, I tell you what, I feel more positively about them having to have this conversation tonight, where I've told you I'm recording the podcast with them, and you're like, whoa, you know, like. That's good, because I was really like, well, if they're not providing great audio quality in the microphone, then they're really not offering anything more than other Bluetooth headphones. But yeah, that's a major plus point. For my particular use case, that is a major plus point. I think generally positive. I don't know what they can do more, really. They were never going to blow my mind, could they, really, when you think about it? Because what could they have done?
Exactly.
There's some nice little kind of UX features about using them, but then there's also those nice things are perhaps a little bit annoying. Like I say, sometimes when I take my earphone out, I don't necessarily want to pause what I'm listening to. So it's kind of making a few assumptions about my behavior. But I thought hopefully that was a reasonably comprehensive and non-gabbling review of those. Especially as we've been talking about in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, no, it was very, very comprehensive, I would say. So hopefully people liked it.
Yeah, well, begrudgingly, I do basically agree with you that I wouldn't recommend these to you.
Hmm.
What I would recommend to you is the Aureli ones.
Yeah, yeah. I'm still working off those wired ones, though, so...
Well, I think that's fair enough. I think if you can get that wired one going, that's fair enough. I just don't like wires when I'm running.
No, and I enjoyed my time as a Bluetooth user, but... I was getting quite frustrated with the constantly having to go and look for them. And then because a lot of the products that we were both getting, because they were from small manufacturers, they were quite short-lived in terms of their availability. So every time I had to buy another replacement pair, I was having to make decisions again. And I'm at a period of my life where I don't want to have to make decisions. I want to buy the same pair of shoes and the same...
Yeah,
same pair.
You want to Zuckerberg it?
Yeah, basically.
Well, here's. I'll leave you with this, right? We'll move on to our next topic because I'm interested to hear about your email that you've got sitting in your inbox. But I'll leave you with this. I wonder if the thing that would make these the killer accessory is if they weren't the accessory to my phone, and I was living that Apple Watch life.
Oh.
Because I think maybe that's where these are superior to other Bluetooth headphones when you're using them with the watch. Because of the watch, you are much more reliant on Siri. I wonder if, like, I think it maybe, that's the other thing. If I was a big Siri user, and as I think we've proved tonight, I am not, having that double tap to Siri.
Taker is, though. Taker's a big Siri user.
He is. He loves it. But having that double tap to Siri, rather than where I was like, oh, that's annoying, I'm going to turn that off immediately. Other people would be like, oh my God, that's amazing because I can just talk. I can just double tap and just talk. I haven't got to even say, hey, Siri anymore. I haven't got that annoying, like, social anxiety about saying, hey, Siri. I just tap on the headphone and I talk. Okay, I tell you what I'm going to do.
You're not saying, hey, Siri, but you are then standing there going, find me a restaurant near here.
That's not how people who use Siri a lot talk to Siri, is it? They talk a little bit more naturally because they're used to they've worked out the cadence of how to speak to it. My challenge for next week is I'm going to turn Siri back on these headphones, and I'm going to try and use it. I'm going to try and train myself to use it and see how I get on.
Oh, I'm not sure I want you to, because you'll probably love it for a week and you'll be telling me about it constantly, and then you won't love it anymore.
So much fun doing a podcast for you.
It sounds exhausting dealing with you getting into Siri.
It sounds exhausting dealing with you every single week, mate. So,
no, yeah, you should do that.
Speaking of you being exhausted, tell everyone about your email inbox right now.
Right, okay. I put my name into the ballot for the Virgin London Marathon in 2018. And at the start of the week, people started getting rejections or acceptances into the race. So I have been coming home looking for, they send a magazine out to people that says, oh, you're not in the marathon. Or one that says, oh, you are in the marathon. But yeah, you get a comic. So about marathon running. So I've been checking I've been like really nervously opening the door every night, and there's nothing on the doorstep. But people have been getting them, and I've been waiting. And I spotted an email drop into my inbox earlier on today, which I've been averting my eyes from because I saved it so that you and I could have a special moment finding out if I'm going to be running 26 miles around London in April.
Amazing.
So do you know much about the ballot?
Not really, no. I understand what a ballot is because we did it for the cricket tickets. So it's basically a lottery, right?
Yeah, it's a lottery. So the London Marathon has obviously become a very popular event. And over the years, the level of interest grew to the point where it was deemed appropriate that you would have a lottery to get a place rather than just kind of getting a place, because it was selling out so quickly and they could book it over and over and over again. there was a long period of time, so I'm told, where if you were unsuccessful in the ballot, so you put your name in, you didn't get a place, you were then automatically entered into the next year's marathon. Not the ballot. You got a place the next year. So,
right.
Yeah. So you would essentially, when you put your name in the hat, you're guaranteed to get a run either this year or next year. That's pretty
cool. What happens if like over twice as many people enter the ballot?
Well, yeah. So yeah, that doesn't happen anymore, mate.
All right. Okay.
So they then hit the next threshold level where they've withdrawn that, and so now you can just be in the ballot every year, and you might be unsuccessful every year. A friend of mine has been unsuccessful, I think, 7 times now.
Jeez.
Which is pretty heinous. But then another person I was talking to the other day got their place and then didn't take it. So, you know, but. Interestingly, from a statistical point of view, because as we know, you are the stats man, they've got some quite sophisticated modelling that they do for the number of people who apply and the number of people who accept and then the number of people who actually run.
Mm.
So if you give me a second, I'll just find this in the FAQs because I remember reading this at the time. What happens to the places? This is from the FAQ page of the Virgin London Marathon. What happens to the places when people drop out of the Virgin Money London Marathon? Is there a waiting list? Answer: we do not operate a waiting list. The number of entries that we accept each year is calculated carefully in the knowledge that there is a certain percentage of runners who will drop out. This percentage is consistent year on year. After 36 years, we can predict to within 1% the number of runners who will start. That's pretty ace, isn't it?
Yeah. So they don't fill those places when people drop out. They basically oversubscribe by the amount that they know is going to drop.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. So there you go. That's the ballot system. And as I say, a lot of people who I know have tried and been unsuccessful for many years in a row. Obviously, you can get a place if you can sign up to raise quite significant chunks of money for charity, because charities get a number of the places. You know, you and I are bad enough at telling people that we're running a podcast. So imagine me.
I did very well when I did my half. I think I got about 500 odd quid or something. I did quite well.
Was your place actually for charity? Like, did they give you the place or did you have to raise the top?
I can't remember. I did it for a specific charity and got like a thing from them to say you're doing it for us and all that. Hmm. But I think I'd already got my place at that point. Or when you get your place, you say what the charity is and then they send you stuff out. But I raised quite a decent amount of money, but I was trading a lot on the Fat Nick dollar, Fat Nick's doing a half marathon. I think I was trading a lot on that. I think if I did it again now, I probably wouldn't get the same hype.
Fickle public, mate. Fickle public. All the people who used to give you all those fat retweets, they're not there anymore, mate.
So I put my name in
for the Guernsey Marathon on the basis that if I successfully completed a marathon, which I've now done, I might be pissed off that I hadn't done it, that I hadn't put my name in, and that I would always have you put your name in and you've always got the chance that you might get it, and you got the opportunity to turn it down. So I was like, well, if running a marathon isn't for me, then I can always turn it down. But now I want to do one, and I'm in a ballot, and I've got an email that tells me what's going to happen next.
Come on. Yeah, open it up. Then. A bit annoyed you didn't get that email sent to podcast@runnerpod.com, because I could have checked it out. I feel annoyed you didn't get it sent to podcast@runnerpod.com.
You could have known and put it in a golden envelope. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. I'm opening my email. So, Obviously, I'm fairly pragmatic about this because if I don't get to run in London Marathon, there are other events. But it is quite a special.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. If you don't get it, I'm not going to like be consoling you, and I'm not expecting you to be too devastated.
Right. No reply, londonmarathon.com, 2018 Virgin London Marathon ballot. That's as much as I've read.
Right, I'm just a quick pause on that. I'm loving how 90s and no reply at email addresses.
Well, you know, they've been around for 36 years, mate. They know how to model data, so there you go. Here we go. Commiserations.
Oh, was that the first word?
Yeah, well, dear John Hickman, commiserations.
Oh, God. Brutal.
A record number of 386,050 hopefuls applied to take part in next year's event. And then it tells me to go and get a charity place. I looked at some data about this. So someone who's been looking at data for 2014, 15 and 16, no update for 2017. In 2014, there were 17,500 ballot places and 130,000 entries available. Do you want to do the maths or shall I tell you the percentage probability?
Yeah, it's about 12%.
14.3.
Yeah.
2015, the probability of success dropped to 13.6. In 2016, off of 17,000 ballot places with 247,000 entrance, that dropped down to 6.9%.
You're looking at less than 5% from your numbers, aren't you? What was it? 300?
Yeah, so they're saying 300 and something thousand. So yeah, it's a one in 20 chance, isn't it?
Mm.
Wow,
that's crazy, isn't it?
It is.
So what's the plan?
Choose another marathon, mate. Be fine.
Which one? That's kind of what I meant by what's the plan.
Oh, okay. I don't know.
Would you fancy an overseas one? Berlin?
Yeah, I would.
I've heard Berlin's quite a tough course, though.
Yeah, and a friend of mine told me that New York's a pain in the ass because you have to get bussed out to the start.
Right.
And so it's kind of like hard to keep your chops up, you know, keep motivated and that. So, but I New York would be nice.
I think if you're going to do another one, right, so you've done the one, the Guernsey one.
My hometown.
Do you think you're going to do that again next year? Just as a quick sidebar.
I don't know. We might not go to Guernsey next summer, so we might.
Well, you were telling me that it's incredibly expensive.
Yeah, it's crazy expensive. It's a lovely place, but it's a place that you would probably only go to if you had family there, because you could go to Spain for cheaper, so yeah. And be guaranteed of the sunshine.
So I think, I mean, if it was me, because I'm sure there's probably loads of marathons around the UK you could go and do, like, I don't know, like, yeah. the Ipswich Marathon or something ridiculous, like,
yeah.
Like every single town's got a marathon. I think you can do a marathon in my hometown, actually, or there's at the very least a half marathon in my hometown.
Yeah.
So you've got to be looking at one of the major ones, or at least one where it's like there's a little bit of something about it. So like I said, the Guernsey one, your hometown.
And London would have been a massive contrast to Guernsey, because as I sort of said, there were like long stretches of being on your own.
Hmm.
But you wouldn't have that in London. You'd have that.
Is there anywhere in the UK you'd consider doing one other than London?
Well, I think I mentioned I really fancied doing that Bournemouth one, but we just didn't work out in terms of the timing. Brighton looks quite good.
Any excuse to go to Brighton for me?
Oh, innit? So, yeah, Brighton might be quite good. I do quite fancy, and I was only a half, but I do quite fancy the Great North Run.
Yeah.
Love to do that.
Next year?
Yeah, it's probably open by now, isn't it?
Might do that with you.
Sweet.
Yeah.
That could be a good shout, couldn't it?
I might do that with you, because I've always fancied the Great North Run as well.
That could be good, man.
That'd be interesting for the podcast as well.
It would.
Yeah. Let's put a pin in that.
I'm free in April anyway. If anyone needs me.
Yeah. We'll grab a beer.
Yeah.
What you should do is celebrate by just letting your training go to absolute pits in April.
Well, one good aspect of it is that I have got a wedding a couple of weeks before before the marathon. I'd have been tapering; it would have been fine. But
no. Now you can let your hair down, mate. Let your hair down.
Oh, literally, would have been a week before the marathon. By the looks of this. So
every cloud, mate, every cloud.
There we go, mate. Right. Shall I play us out?
Wrap it up, mate. Wrap it up.
Sweet. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Pocket Casts, and Overcast, or anywhere that you get podcasts. Except for Spotify, we're not on there.
How do we get on Spotify?
Don't know. I might look into it.
All right.
You can leave us a review if you want, but email us, that'd be nice. podcast@runnerpod.com.
I will say if you're going to email us, yeah, and you're going to take the effort to email us, you might as well leave a review as well. It's you're on your computer anyway, just leave us a review as well.
Just leave a review,
yeah,
and then email us the review.
Exactly, and, yeah, leave us a review and then drop us an email just to let us know that you've left the review. That'd be lovely.
Yeah, there was we've both been listening to Quickly Kevin, the 90s football podcast.
Yeah, wonderful podcast.
And they've got a really nice little hook to get people to leave reviews. So there's a segment of the show that you can only participate in if you've left a review.
Right.
Which is quite clever.
Oh, I don't think I've heard that bit yet.
If you leave reviews with good jokes in them, then they play them out at the start of the show.
Nice.
So yeah, that's what we're not going to do that. But
no,
that's
we're not a comedy podcast.
That's a nice approach. We're about fitness, running, and tech.
We are solely about fitness, running, and tech. Nothing
and,
else.
And yeah, what beer were you working off tonight?
I tell you what I was working off, mate. I was working off a raspberry Berliner Weiss. Which, what do you reckon my take on that was? Knowing what you know of me,
I reckon that would tick a lot of your boxes.
Well, it ticks every box of the sort of beer I wouldn't pick up and drink because it's a Weiss, which I don't like. It's a fruit-based beer, which worries me. But actually, yeah, it was lovely. It was really, really nice.
You like a recordling from now every now and then, don't you?
Well, yeah, I think the it's a citrusy the citrusy things that I'm not a huge fan of. But yeah, I'm not really a big fan of a Weiss, but actually, it was pretty good, mate. It's pretty good.
Oh, very good.
Where were we?
We're on Twitter at RunnerPod, we are done.
Sweet. Peace.
Oh. I thought you were going to say peace. Then
I'm always going to say peace. I know,
but then I crushed it.
You did. Peace.
You don't look like a runner with Nick and John.